Good evening.
Direct your attention tonight to Proverbs 4 and verse 23, where it says, "Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flows the springs of life." There are many things that we could say in relation to that, but I want to focus specifically on some thoughts that we, as we continue to look here at Romans chapter 8, he says, "Those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, and those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." Question for each of us tonight is, what have you set your mind on? And I think the fact that we are present in this assembly is indicative of the fact that you have set your mind on spiritual things, and that is certainly good. Watch over your heart with all diligence. In Mark chapter 4 and verse 24, he says, Jesus said to them, "Take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. And to you who hear, more will be given." Take heed what you hear. We know from Hebrews chapter 10 that faith comes by hearing. Be careful what you hear. Take heed to what you hear. We use what we hear, and we will be judged by what we hear and by what we use. If we hear, believe, and practice error, we practice sin, because sin is a transgression of the law. 1 John 3 and verse 4. If we hear, believe, and practice truth, more will be given. In other words, we will reap what we allowed to be sown in our heart. If we hear God's word, trust it, and obey it, we will reap the fruit of the seed of that word. So I want to focus tonight on this admonition of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Take heed what you hear, or some translations say, be careful what you hear. Not everything you hear is true. Not everything you hear is from God, although the speaker might claim that it is from God. And this principle is as old as the giving of God's word. We could go all the way back to the Garden of Eden. We're not going to go back that far. We're going to go back to the Mosaic Law. And notice how this principle of hearing God's word and God's word only is so important when it comes to spiritual matters. Now, we're looking at the Mosaic Law, and so we're going to be reading some things here that under the Mosaic Law they were told to do, but we dare not do under the law of Christ. And we'll talk about that a little bit as we go on here. But notice in Deuteronomy 13, in the first 18 verses, it says, "If there arises among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and he gives you a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder comes to pass, of which he spoke to you, saying, 'Let us go after other gods, which you have not known. Let us serve them.'" So here's a false prophet, dreamer of dreams. He's kind of like Simon the sorcerer, you know, who performs magic tricks, and the people are in amazement by what he does. And then he says, "I do these things by the great power of God. God is with me." And you say, "Well, I don't know. Maybe God is with him." I want you to notice here that what is being said here is that don't look at how he confirms what he hears. Just listen to what he says. Does it agree with what God has said? That's, in essence, what he's going to make the point here. So he's saying, let's go after other gods. He's trying to bolster his argument by performing whatever enchantment he performs. He says, "You shall not listen to the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, For the Lord your God is testing to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. There is the point. Are there going to be those who come who say, well, you know, I've got this feeling that maybe this is what God wants us to do? There are times that we are going to be tested as to whether we are going to do God's will, just as He has given it to us in His Word, or whether we're going to go after some person because we uphold that person. He says, you shall walk after the Lord your God and fear Him and keep His commandments and obey His voice, and you shall serve Him and hold fast to Him. Don't fall after this false prophet, this dreamer of dreams. You continue to listen to what God has said. But that prophet, or that dreamer of dreams, shall be put to death, because he has spoken in order to turn you away from the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt and to redeem you from the house of bondage, to entice you from the way in which the Lord your God commanded you to walk. So you shall put away the evil from among you. Now the principle of putting away the evil from among you applies today. We'll notice that in just a little bit. We don't put the false teacher to death because we have a spiritual law. They had a spiritual law and they had a civil law. The Mosaic law did not just hold them together spiritually, it held them together civilly. And that's part of the reason why this death sentence could be pronounced upon a false teacher. He goes on to say, if your brother, the son of your mother, your son, or your daughter, the wife of your bosom, or your friend, who is as your own soul, secretly entices you, saying, let us go and serve other gods, which you have not known, neither you nor your fathers, of the gods of the people which are all around you, near to you, or far off from you, from one end of the earth to the other end of the earth. You shall not consent to listen to him, nor shall your eye pity him, nor shall you spare him or conceal him. That principle applies today too. You shall not consent to listen to him, nor shall your eye pity him, nor shall you spare him or conceal him. False teachers don't like to be called out. False teachers don't like to have their name attached to their false doctrine. But this principle applies even today. And when a false teacher speaks, not only is his doctrine to be identified, but he's to be identified as well. You will not conceal him. But you shall surely kill him. Now, we don't do that. Your hand shall be first against him to put him to death, and afterward the hand of all the people. And you shall stone him with stones until he dies, because he sought to entice you away from the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage. So all Israel shall hear and fear, and not again do such wickedness as this among you. So, you know, you put a false teacher to death, the next false teacher that comes along is going to think twice before he starts saying, let's go follow other gods. Let's try this worship to this idolatrous God up on this hillside in these trees. Might not want to suggest that. Verse 12 goes on to say, if you hear someone in one of your cities, which the Lord your God gives you to dwell in, saying, corrupt men have gone out from among you and enticed the inhabitants of their city, saying, let us go and serve other gods, which you have not known. then you shall inquire, search out, and ask diligently. So somebody comes to you from another town and says, you know, there's somebody in our town who are saying this and that and whatever the false doctrine is to go after some other god. You listen to that report and then you go to that city and you start inquiring. You see whether that's true or not. And if it is indeed true and certain that such an abomination was committed among you, you shall surely strike the inhabitants of that city with the edge of the sword, utterly destroying it, all that is in it, and its livestock with the edge of the sword. And you shall gather all its plunder into the middle of the street and completely burn with fire the city and all its plunder for the Lord your God, and it shall be a heap forever, shall not be built again. Now let me ask you a question. Were there ever any cities in which a false prophet or a dreamer of dreams came along and said, let's follow after these gods that are around near here around us? Did that ever happen? Yeah. It spread like a cancer throughout Israel and throughout Judah. But as it was happening, these measures weren't put into place. It wasn't until long afterwards they realized what had been done that these measures would have been put into place. I often wonder how would history be different if these measures would have been put into place? Be careful what you hear. Be careful what you allow. Be careful what you permit to go on. Verse 17 goes on to say, so none of the accursed things shall remain in your land. You separate yourselves from them. You put them to death. None of these accursed things will remain in your hand, that the Lord may turn from the fierceness of his anger and show you mercy, have compassion on you and multiply you, just as he swore to your fathers. Because you have listened to the voice of the Lord your God to keep all his commandments, which I commanded you this day, Moses speaking, to do what is right in the eyes of the Lord your God. You listen to the voice of the Lord your God to keep his commandments, which I commanded you today, to do what is right in his eyes, right in the eyes of the Lord your God. You heard what God said, and you stayed with it. That principle applies to us today. Be careful what you hear. And keep the commandments of God. Deuteronomy 4, or chapter 6 and verse 2 says it this way, that you may fear, reverence the Lord your God, and keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you. You and your son, your grandson, all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. Fear the Lord your God. Keep his commandments. Keep his statutes. Regardless of how someone might tickle your ears or your affection for them, you revere God and keep his commandments. Do not add to or remove from his authorized word. Again, Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 2 says, you shall not add to the word which I command you, nor take from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you. What's he saying? He said, if you add to my word, you're not practicing my word. If you take something away from my word, you're not practicing my word. We are not authorized to modify the commandments of God. And if we think that we can, and we exercise liberty to do so, we will find ourselves separated from God. Deuteronomy 12 and verse 32, whatever I command you, be careful to observe it. You shall not add to it, nor take away from it. Joshua 23 and verse 6, be very courageous to keep and do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, lest you turn aside from it to turn to the right hand or to the left. Stay with what God says. Proverbs 30 and verse 6, do not add to his words, lest he rebuke you and you be found a liar. 2 John, as we come to the New Testament, does it say any place in the New Testament that in the doctrine of Christ that we're not to add to or take away from? Well, not in those words, but the principle is here. 2 John verses 9-11, whoever transgresses, goes beyond, and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, you be the first to pick up a stone and stone him. No, that's the Mosaic law. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house, nor greet him. For he who greets him shares in his evil deeds. It's not just another gospel. It's not just a false doctrine. The practice of a false doctrine leads to the practice of sin, an evil deed. Separate yourself from a false teacher. Separate yourself from someone who's trying to separate you from practicing the pure gospel of Jesus Christ as it has been delivered to us in the New Testament. Revelation 22 and verses 18 and 19 says, I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. This book that he's talking about is the book of Revelation, but it's a principle that we've seen from Deuteronomy through 2 John that applies to all of God's Word. I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book, if anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. If anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life. Remember, we talked about that this morning. The book of life is a list of names of those who are saved, who live in hope of eternal life. God will take away his part from the book of life and from the holy city and from the things that are written in this book. God has no part with false doctrines and false teachers. Be careful what you hear. Judgment awaits those who fail to revere these absolute boundaries. Isaiah 29 and verse 13, we read, therefore the Lord said, inasmuch as these people draw near with their mouths and honor me with their lips, but have removed their hearts from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the commandment of men, he goes on to say, those words sound pretty familiar, don't they? I've heard something like that before. Well, that's because the Word of God made flesh was using these words, applying them to his generation. In Matthew chapter 15 and verses 7 through 9, he says, hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, these people draw near to me with their mouth, they honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. not the commandments of God, not the doctrine of Christ, the commandments of men, the dreams of dreamers. Their fear for God is a false fear, based upon man's words and not God's words. In vain they worship me, teaching his doctrines, the commandments of men. So we are not to hear false teachers. When you hear false teaching, the time to stop listening to it is right away. In Malachi chapter 2, in the first 8 verses. Now, O priest, this commandment is for you. If you will not hear, and if you will not take it to heart, to give glory to my name, says the Lord of hosts, I will send a curse upon you. And I will curse your blessings. Yes, I have cursed them already. Because you do not take it to heart. Behold, I will rebuke your descendants and spread refuse on your faces, the refuse of your solemn feast, and one will take you away with it. Then you shall know that I have sent this commandment to you, that my covenant with Levi may continue, says the Lord of hosts. My covenant was with him, one of life and peace. And I gave them to him that he might fear me. So he feared me and was reverent before me and my name. The law of truth was in his mouth, and injustice was not found on his lips. He walked with me in peace and equity. He turned many away from iniquity. You need to follow the example of Levi, he says. He didn't add to or take away. He didn't lead people away with his own thoughts and his own ideas. He heard what I said, he delivered what I said, and he delivered people from their sins. That's what you need to do. That's what we need to do. Verse 7 and 8 goes on to say, for the lips of the priest should keep knowledge, and the people should seek the law from his mouth. For he is a messenger of the Lord of hosts. But you have departed from the way. You priests in Malachi's day, you have departed from the way. You have caused many to stumble at the law. You have corrupted the covenant of Levi, says the Lord of hosts. God says, I'm going to deal with you. I'm going to deal with you because the people didn't deal with you as I told them to. Second Peter chapter 2, in the first 3 verses, we've just studied Second Peter. We know that this chapter 2 was about false teachers, and says there were false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. Many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. Well, wait a minute. It's not my fault that they taught me a false doctrine. I shouldn't be destroyed because they taught me a false doctrine. Be careful what you hear. We're responsible for what we hear. Not only are we responsible for what we teach, we're responsible for what we hear. Are we just assuming that what we hear is the truth? Or are we searching the scriptures daily to see whether these things are so? That we're hearing the word of God and practicing the doctrine of Christ. By covetousness, they will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time, their judgment has been idle, and their destruction does not slumber. In Matthew 7 and verse 15, Jesus said, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. False prophet doesn't come and say, hey, I'm a false prophet. No, they come and look like men of peace and men of love and men of faith. But inwardly, they're despising the doctrine of Christ and trying to lead people away from the salvation in His Word. Matthew 24 and verse 24, Jesus said, false Christ and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive. It's possible even the elect, just as they were doing back there, and Moses warned them about in Deuteronomy. False prophets are going to do wonders in order to deceive people. He said, you just listen to what they're saying and compare it to what I've said in my word. And if it's contradictory to what I've said, it's not some latter-day revelation. It's a false doctrine. 2 Timothy 4 in the first four verses, I charge you before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort, that means to warn and encourage, with all long-suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers and will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. You know what a fable is, right? A fable is a story somebody makes up. It's entertaining, perhaps. The trouble with these fables is that it entertains the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. They have itching ears. They have a heart that is inclined to the carnal side of life rather than the spiritual side of life. Not only are there false teachers who teach these things, but there are brethren who want to be taught them, who want to compromise God's truth. Hear God's written word over man's word. We notice this passage this morning in 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 37. If anyone thinks himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things which I write to you are the commandments of men. You know, one of the problems with spiritual gifts is that there were some people who didn't have the spiritual gifts that they wanted. But they would counterfeit their spiritual gifts. The gift of telling forth the mind of God. What was the test of that? How do I know you're telling forth the mind of God? You say you've got the gift of prophecy and you're saying that God told you to say this. But how do I know God told you to say it? Well, there was a test for that. Let the prophet speak two or three. Let the other judge. And as one speaking, if it's revealed to another, let the first hold his peace and sit down. And the other stand up and continue on with the prophecy. So there was a test for that. And there's this test, too. You know, sometimes we deceive ourselves into thinking that, I think I'm right about this. I think this is what we should do. We even deceive ourselves into thinking that, you ever heard anybody say, well, the Lord led me to, or words to that effect. And they are genuinely deceived and self-deceived. Here's the test for them. You think you're a prophet? You think you're spiritual? Then acknowledge the things that are written are the commandments of the Lord. Because your false doctrine is going to be proven to be false by the truth of God's word. And that's when it's time to say, I was wrong. I was wrong. And somebody said, well, I think sprinkling for baptism is probably okay in some occasions. Do you? Where is that in the Word of God? Where do you have assurance of that from God's Word? I don't think we need to partake of the Lord's Supper every first day of the week. Maybe just once a month is enough. Or once every 3 months is enough. Or once or twice a year is enough. Is that what you think? Where's your assurance of that in God's Word? Because God's Word says the disciples came together on the first day of the week. And I read that the same way you read it. That whenever there was a first day of the week, the disciples came together to break bread. That's the way it was written. That's the way it's to be understood. And we could just go on with a host of false doctrines that people think, well, I think this is probably just as good. I don't see why we can't have instruments of music and worship. Well, what passage in the doctrine of Christ would you turn to that authorizes it? Doctrine of Christ says, sing, make melody in your heart, teach and admonish one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing. Well, it doesn't say not to use an instrument of music. Okay. Well, it doesn't say not to use peanut butter and jelly for the Lord's Supper either. But it tells us what to use. Doesn't it? Are we at liberty just to use peanut butter and jelly if we want to? No, we wouldn't do that. But you see, it's the same thing with these other ideas that people come up with. Just so long as we're reverencing God when we're partaking of it, if you're partaking of peanut butter and jelly, you're not reverencing God in His Word. If you're singing with an instrument of music, you're not reverencing God in His Word. If you've got a woman preacher, you're not reverencing God in His Word. And we could just go on and on and on, you know that I can, with the false doctrines that are readily accepted by people today. But if we revere God and revere His Word, we will not add to or take away from His Word. Do you think you're spiritual? Then acknowledge the things that are written are true. And just stay with that. In Galatians chapter 1 and verses 6 through 9, I marvel. Churches of Galatia, region of the Roman Empire, many churches, this entire region. He says, I marvel that you are so, turning away so soon from Him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel. He's heard about this. I like what we read about there in Deuteronomy. Somebody comes to you and says, you know what they're teaching up here in this city up here? Paul says, we need to correct them. I marvel that you are turning away so soon from Him who called you into the grace of Christ to a different gospel. And I like to just think about that he's just kind of doing one of these air quotes things when he says, different gospel. You know, it's a latter-day gospel. We know what the gospel of Christ is, but this is a different gospel. That's enough for me to say I don't want nothing to do with it. I'll stick with the doctrine of Christ. Which is not another. It's not an alternative gospel. You pick which one you want. No. It's not another. But there are some who trouble you and want to, here's the problem, who pervert the gospel of Christ. Even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. Pretty strong language. Just as strong language as what God used in Deuteronomy. You put him away. You don't have any fellowship with such a person. And you certainly don't entertain their gospel, so-called. Be careful what you hear. Hear God's written word and let him and his truth dwell in you. 2 John verse 2 says, the truth abides in us and will be with us forever. Let that be your determination. The truth, God's word of truth, abides in me forever. So it will ever be. And as Jesus said, as we often notice in John 14 and verse 23, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him. And we will come to him and make our home with him. We notice this morning from 1 John chapter 1 that as John wrote that letter, began that letter, he says, I'm telling you what we know so that you can have fellowship with us, and our fellowship is with Christ. That's exactly what Jesus is talking about right here. You want to have fellowship with God? You want to have God in your life? Keep the commandments of God. Keep the word of Christ. And the Father and the Son will dwell in you. And you will dwell in them by his word. If you're here tonight and you're out of Christ, you've been contemplating that. You don't want to be out of Christ. You don't want to be separated from him. He doesn't want to be you to be separated from him either. He's not willing that you perish. It's his will that you repent. It's his will that you come back to him, that you confess him, that you turn from your sin with the determination to honor him and love him, to keep his word and to walk in his truth and glorify him thereby. If that's your desire and that's your will, we'd encourage you to let it be known. If you're subject to the invitation tonight in any way, would you please come as we stand and sing this song?